Good morning. Ah, yes. We've had a good Friday. And this is a good morning. A celebration of Jesus alive. He is alive. It's hard to capture that. Especially this time of the morning. Let me tell you. World War II, young man in Big Spring, Texas, signed up for the Air Force. Frank was his name. And Frank, in 2 years, learned to fly, had become second lieutenant, and was moved over to England to fly into battle. Frank Clemens. He got in a battle, an air battle over the English Channel, was shot down. Message came to his family in Big Spring, Texas. Frank Clemens, missing in action. His parents went down to their little church, saw Pastor Durham, Elmer Durham, shared the sad news. 2 weeks later, they got another telegram. Frank Clemens killed in action in the English Channel. So they went back to the pastor. They wept together, prayed together, planned a service together, and so they had a memorial service for one of the favorite sons of Big Spring. An empty coffin, a single rose upon the coffin. And the town gathered and mourned the death of Frank Clemens. But this Frank Clemens was not dead. Another Frank Clemens, different middle initial, had been shot down in the English Channel and had died. Our Frank Clemens was rescued by Allied forces, taken back to England, a few days in the hospital, recovered, and given a furlough in the USA, hitched a ride back to New York, caught a Greyhound bus, set out for Big Spring, Texas, not realizing the misery and the grief that was there because he was thought to be dead. And he thought, well, I'll surprise my parents. And did he ever? Got off the Greyhound bus, walked the short distance up to his home, saw the door open in the work shed at the back of the house, walked around the house and into that work shed as he stood in the door. All the emotions just flowed over him. Growing up as a lad, watching his dad work, he could hear him tinkering around in the shed. Frank Clemens said, Dad, Dad. Dad looked up, could not believe his eyes. He ran to Frank, embraced him, went running into the house. Mother, Mother, Frank's alive. He's here. Frank's alive. And a whole town of mourning became a town of celebration. Frank Clemens was alive. I grew up in the Second World War. I saw those Air Force men on the streets of England. I saw the bombers and fighter planes going over for one battle or another in Europe. Very grateful to the USA for coming to our aid. And I say thank you to you. But the misery that attends war is deep, deep misery. War is hell, said President Harry Truman, and so it is. Frank Clemens had touched a little on that, but had been saved, rescued, home, and alive. And the town was celebrating. And you can get that feel from misery to joy. Now, that first Easter morning, the ladies had gathered various herbs and oils, and they were going to embalm the body of Jesus. Friday afternoon, when he died, it was a very hurried, rushed death and burial. Can you imagine? They had seen the pulverized body of Jesus nailed to a cross, definitely dead. They had taken his body from the cross. Now, I don't know if you've ever given it any thought, but the way you get the body off the cross is simply to lay down the cross and snatch the hands, pull the hands back over the spikes that held them to the cross, and the same with the feet. And the dead Jesus was laid in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. Dead. And the misery and loss and pain of it, all the hopes that had been fastened in Jesus, seemed to be buried with him. And the misery and the pain and the grief they carried with them as they made their way to the tomb to finish off a funeral, a burial, an embalming. And when they get there, the stone is rolled back. There are angels waiting for them. And they tell them not to seek the living among the dead. That Jesus was alive, he is risen, he is alive. Bewildering. It's hard to imagine. They knew he was dead. They knew he was dead. But his body wasn't there in the tomb. He was gone. And angels are saying, he is alive. Jesus is alive. They could hardly believe it. The words of the angels, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. And so they hurried off to do that. A couple of things I want to draw to your attention as we consider that scenario and that scene. First of all, the death of Jesus on the cross, while it looked like defeat and had brought such pain and despair and grief to his immediate followers, the death is where the victory was won. Where sin was paid for, where judgment had been paid, dealt with, where the grave had been conquered on the cross. The resurrection was but an acclamation, a celebration of what had been done by Jesus. And his words rang true because he was alive as they considered them. This is my body which is given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant. Words we'll hear again this morning. my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. It was all real. The resurrection of Jesus forever settles that issue. His living presence here this morning amongst us, moving amongst us, coming and speaking to us as the living Lord Jesus. Your sin has been dealt with. Christ has paid for it all. We've had our Good Friday, and this is a Good Morning Sunday. Jesus is alive, and it's all real and true and available and present in Jesus here this morning, a living Jesus who walks amongst us. And he comes to us personally. I want to put that before you with these words we have just read, namely, go tell his disciples and Peter. Why pick on Peter? Why add him? Because as you know, I trust, that Peter's last memory before the cross and the crucifixion and the death and the grief was his denial of Jesus. Three times. Denied knowing him, had anything to do with him. Jesus had told him he would do that. And as Jesus was led away, the words of the gospel, he looked and saw Peter. And as he looked at Peter, Peter remembered his words. And that one look buried Peter, destroyed him. Just to look and see Jesus being led away, bound, as it turned out, to crucifixion. Go tell the disciples and Peter. In the same sense, Jesus comes to you. Whatever sin there is in your life which you can't even believe or begin to understand has really been dealt with, paid for. A living Jesus comes to you, and speaks to you words of hope and freedom and forgiveness to begin again. A good morning Jesus with him. Similarly, just to see how Jesus, at this time of absolute victory over death, declaring victory over sin and judgment, over the devil and death, that victory is personally shared by a Jesus who cares about these individuals. Not only go tell the disciples and Peter, but there's another scene. Mary Magdalene, turns away from the tomb to, having looked in and heard the angels, and she sees a man she's supposed to be the gardener. And she said to him, tell me where you've laid him. Jesus had said to her, why are you crying? And Mary Magdalene said, they have taken away my Lord Jesus. If you know where they've laid him, tell me. I will go and take him, fetch him. All Jesus said to her was, Mary. Mary. he spoke her name, Mary. She responded, Rabboni, teacher. But in that name, Mary, as he spoke to her, was all the love and compassion for her breaking heart, for the way she had been rescued from her own sins by Jesus, delivered. Mary. And Jesus comes to you. Hear him say your name, Bill, Bob, Sarah, Susan, John, Gary, Frank, you, by name, he comes to this morning. One other scene. Jesus appeared to all the disciples at one time when they were shut behind locked doors for fear of the Jewish population who might then come after them. And Jesus turned up and visited with them. And they could hardly believe it. It was true. Jesus was alive. And as they looked and spoke with him, it began to dawn on them that it really was a fact. The ladies who came back with the tale of his being alive was not some fairy tale. Jesus had, behind locked doors, moved in on them, become present, and spoken to them. The one man who wasn't there was Thomas. And when Thomas came in, they said, "It's really true. Jesus is alive. He came here. He was with us. We spoke with him. We saw him." And you remember Thomas's response? "Unless I put my finger in the nail prints and my hand in the side that had been speared, I will not believe." So here Thomas says, "I will not believe." But about a week later, it says, 8 days later, about a week, Jesus turns up. And guess who he makes his way to immediately? Thomas. What on earth do you think went through Thomas's mind? And then Jesus says to him, "See my hands, put your finger in the nail prints. See my side, put your hand in my side." One of the thoughts that must have immediately struck Thomas as he was being called to account for his unbelief was this: how did he know I said that? How did he know I expressed that doubt? He must have been here. We couldn't see him, but he was here. No less so for you and me. You can't see Jesus here this morning, but he is here. He is alive. And as Satan comes after to tempt you with doubt and to wonder whether this really is just another traditional Easter, not for you. He knows you by name, and he comes to you personally. You know, I thought of a couple of other Easters that I've preached at over the years, and I thought of them because of two reasons. Those two reasons were two people. One, her name was Melinda. She was a young lawyer. Her mother had done the flowers for Easter Sunday. And she said to Melinda, "Come to church this morning and see the flowers." that I have arranged. Look at this amazing array of tulips. Thank you for whoever decorated and made this beautiful arrangement. But for Melinda, and it was amazing. She was a lawyer, she was bright, she was attractive, and in church to see flowers. How amazing how the Lord gets us one way or another to hear about himself. You may be thinking to yourself, how did I get here this morning? Especially this early. Melinda that morning was born again spiritually. The resurrection came alive for her. Jesus came alive to her. And it was a thrill for me to have her come and tell me how she had given her life to Jesus. I believe. I became a believer. And then another little girl by the name of Rachel, Rachel Doty. She was maybe 7 or 8. But on an Easter Sunday, she gave her heart, her little heart, to Jesus. She's now the wife of a wonderful family, living down in Charleston, South Carolina. But that Sunday was the first day of the rest of her life, little Rachel. Perhaps you, just one person, in a church this big, wherever you're sitting, maybe feeling somewhat isolated and alone, Jesus comes to you. This is your good morning. Your good morning to Jesus. Bow your heads with me and let us pray together. You see Jesus coming to you. Right to you. Hear him say your name. Do you hear it? And in the saying of your name is a depth of love and compassion and concern for you. You, this very morning. In your own heart, say with me, just between you and the Lord, see him standing there before you, and you say to him, dear Jesus, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for being here this morning to speak to me. To embrace me, to come and make your home in my life. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for this moment as I realize maybe again that you died for me, that you paid for my sins, my unbelief, my skepticism. You died for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come fill me with hope, with life, with rejoicing, with all that you intended for me. In dying for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.